First reading for today is from the book of Genesis. Now the Lord said to Abram, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. The second reading is from Isaiah. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant, as a covenant, to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, a welcome to those joining us by internet this morning. If you're in bed, turning on your laptop computer, the 11 o'clock service did not start early. You forgot to turn your clock back. But we are glad that you're joining us here today. As Marcia reminded us in the prayer time, this Tuesday, except for those who participated in early voting, our nation will go to the polls. They will cast votes that will determine the future of our nation and a future that greatly affects the world. It's an important right as citizens of the United States we get to practice. We get to choose our leaders. What a great gift. Next Sunday, hopefully you'll be back and you'll be given the opportunity to cast a vote of a different and a more important kind. And that is the vote to support the work of St. Luke's in the coming year, Decision 2013. Why would I say it's more important? Well, the voting that we do to support the work of the church is not just something of national interest, it's global interest. And it's not just something of this world. It is something that includes otherworldly values. Our vote, our choice to use what we have been given in our lives to support the work of God has eternal outcomes to it. So it's very important. And what we've been doing as we've gone through this series is prepare for that vote by thinking about the important spiritual decisions we make in the life of faith, decisions captured in words in our own mission statement at St. Luke's, our identity statement. In fact, if you're able, say that with me. St. Luke's United Methodist Church is an open community of Christians gathering to seek, celebrate, live, and share God's love for all creation. And we've thought about the decisions implied in those key words, the decision to be open to what God wants to do through our lives, to seek God's presence in our lives. David reminded us so well last week, the decision to live for Christ is very important, not just to know the right information, but to allow it to change the way we live, to affect the way we live. And today we think about the decision to share. Now, I want to capture that decision in a question that's very, very important in the spiritual life. In fact, I invite you to write this question down somewhere, maybe in the note section of your bulletin or some piece of paper that you can take and reflect on it and think about, what does that question mean to you? The question is this. What if I believed I am where I am in life for a purpose? What if I believed I am where I am in life for a purpose? Now, that question does not mean that everything that has happened in your life is on purpose, especially tragedy. That somehow the loss that you've experienced or the divorce that you went through that has put your life where it is today is something that God intended to happen. That's not what that question means. But it does mean this. that wherever I am in my life right now, it can still have purpose. Wherever I am, there can still be purpose and meaning. Now, if we believe that, it colors everything about life, doesn't it? I mean, there is no stone left unturned when you say, where I am in life is for a purpose. You begin to look at your position in life, your possessions, your influences, everything, and kind of assess it according to that idea of what is the purpose for all of this that's beyond just my own well-being. What if I really did believe I am where I am in life for a purpose? Dr. Oz, the guy who plays a doctor on TV and actually is one, he spoke in the community where I was serving some years ago, and in his message that day, he identified the top three things he has found in his work that lead to a long, productive life for people. The top three things. First two are probably no surprise. Eat right, exercise regularly. No-brainers there. The number three reason that leads to a long, productive life, have a purpose. Have a purpose. Number three was not take vitamins. It was not reduce stress. And he has a lot to say about those things. But his number three was people who live a long, productive life, they live with a sense of purpose in their lives. Makes me think of Abraham. We've been using Abraham in these messages. When Abraham died, the Bible says he was 175 years old. Now, people who study the Bible a lot say, oh, come on, you can't put those years and that time frame in our modern way of measuring age today. Surely it didn't mean Abraham was 175 the way we would measure that. And I would say that's probably right. We don't know what 175 meant, but why did the Bible tell us that? I believe it was the Bible's way of saying when Abraham died, he had lived a long, productive life. And he had a sense of purpose. Abraham lived nearly his entire life knowing that God had called him to leave the land where he grew up and go to a land that God would show him. And in that land, he would have a family that would become a whole nation of people, the nation of Israel. And that nation would be blessed. Abraham believed that. Now, that doesn't mean that God somehow was showing favoritism to Abraham and his descendants over all of the other nations of the earth. That's not what that means. I like the way John Ortberg talks about this in his book, Love Beyond Reason. He says, Israel was called God's chosen people, but not in the sense that they were his favorites or that they had an inside track to heaven. His plan, as expressed in the very beginning, was that through Abraham, all the people of the earth should be blessed. Israel was chosen not instead of the other nations of the earth, but precisely for the sake of the other nations of the earth. God's plan was that his community, as it is incarnated on earth, will draw people to it. Abraham lived with a sense of purpose that was to be passed down to the generations. And it was reiterated over and over in the Bible. This is so critical to understanding the Bible. If we miss this, we miss the whole thing. Because Abraham was given a challenge to live in this place with the purpose of being a light to the nations, the prophets for the rest of the Old Testament would remind the people over and over again. We heard it a moment ago. In Isaiah, the prophet reminded the people, you are called to be a covenant people, a light to the nations, so that other people might be brought out of the prisons that shackle their lives, so that the poor might receive some good news and some joy and some hope for living. You have a purpose. Now, those verses in Isaiah are part of what is called the suffering servant passages of Isaiah. They are believed to be messianic. That means they describe the work of the future Messiah. Christians would appropriate those words to Jesus. And they would say that in Jesus Christ, we see those words lived out. Jesus came to give himself to the world so that people would have hope. And therefore, the people who follow him are to live that kind of life. Now, this is the point in the message. When you turn to the person next to you, you shrug your shoulders and you say, "So what?" Turn to that person right now. "So what? So what? What does all of that history, right back when, have to do with you and me sitting here in St. Luke's today?" Because it begs the question, what if we really believed that we are where we are with what we have for a purpose, to make a difference in other people's lives? What would that mean? Well, let's think about Abraham again. What does it mean to live with purpose? One of the things we see in Abraham is that very simply, living with purpose means believing I am blessed. It means believing I am blessed. God told Abraham, "You are blessed. You are blessed. Where you're going, I'm going to take care of you." Abraham could wake up every day and say, "I am a blessed person. God has blessed me." What a difference it makes in life when we can wake up every day and we can say, "I am blessed." It's easy not to. It's easy to wake up every day and say, "The blessing that was taken away from me, I cannot let go of that. I can't let go of this idea that life is still going to be fulfilling because I don't have this anymore." Or to envy other people's blessings and just say, "Life isn't fair. Why should that person have that and I've got what I've got?" But what if? What if we could wake up every day and we say, "I am blessed"? That doesn't mean everybody is blessed equally. That's not the point. But the point is to understand God gives to every person a unique combination of things no other person possesses. Nobody in your life. You have a combination of gifts and abilities, of passions in your heart, of interests, of experiences that you have had, of resources that you've got to use. Nobody else possesses your combination. What if you wake up every day and you say, "There's nothing special about me. I don't have anything special to offer"? What gets missed in the world? And what gets added when every day we wake up and we say, "I know I am blessed, and it's for purpose"? Well, what that says is that one of the jobs of the church is to help you and me understand just how we are blessed. That's part of our job as a church. If you were here earlier in the summer, I did a series on the Holy Spirit. And in one of those messages, I talked about the gifts of the Spirit. That God sends the Holy Spirit to help us identify how we're put together and what God has given us to use to make a difference for other people. And in that message, I threw out the challenge and I said, St. Luke's is going to offer regularly a class to help us understand our spiritual gifts. Anybody remember that day and me throwing out that challenge? Well, I did not even have to go to Terry Coe, the director of education, and say, "Okay, Terry, I kind of threw this challenge out without asking you first, but I've got a new item for your job description." Terry jumped on it. She was already off and running. She came to me and she said, "We are putting together a class and we're going to offer it at the beginning of the year. And today, as you leave worship, you can go to one of the tables out there and sign up for 4 different times that the spiritual discovery class, spiritual gifts discovery, will be offered. We knew November, December would be busy. So starting in January, we're going to offer different times. You can take this class and just learn what are your unique gifts, abilities, passions, and interests that God has given to you unlike any other person. So, having a sense of purpose in life, it begins right there, believing I am blessed. But then connected to that is very clearly the understanding that I am blessed to be a blessing. Abraham was told, I am going to bless you in this land, but for the purpose of being a blessing to other people. That's why God blesses us. That is a law of nature. We are blessed in order to be a blessing. It's not just a spiritual truth. Recently, about 50 people from St. Luke's took a trip to the Holy Land in Israel. And in Israel, a center piece of the geography is the River Jordan. It flows into the Sea of Galilee in the north, and then southward to the Dead Sea. Now, this is a picture Marcia took of the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee receives its water, and then it gives it up. And because of that, the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. You can see fishing boats in the distance. Fishing is still a prosperous business in the Sea of Galilee, just like it was in the days of Jesus. It is teeming with life. But when you get to the Dead Sea, it does not give up the water anymore. It holds on to it, and therefore, the Dead Sea lives up to its name. It is dead. It is 33% salient, salty. In the Dead Sea, because of that, you don't even have to swim. You can bob like a cork. And here's a picture to demonstrate it. Kent Millard, hands in the air, feet out of the water, bobbing like a cork. Why? Because nothing lives in the Dead Sea except tourists from Indiana. That's it. It gets its life and it keeps it to itself, and it does no good. It is a law of nature, and it's a spiritual law as well. We get a sense of life. We get a sense of fulfillment and purpose and meaning when we allow God to use what we've been given for those beyond us. And we say, what I have right now in my life, it's not just for me. God wants to use it somehow. I have been blessed in order to be a blessing. So another job of the church is to help you and me line up our abilities and gifts with places to express them in a way that make a difference. So today we've got a ministry fair outside. There are tables set up, as you noticed walking in, with a variety of service opportunities. Some of them are within the church, in the children's area, music department, other places where here in St. Luke's we can serve. And, not or, but and, there are missions tables where we can also find a way to serve that's beyond us. That's beyond the church. It's for the good of people in the community and in the world. And I hope today you're going to walk out and take a few moments to browse the tables. And if you're not already serving somewhere, just look around and see what draws your interest. What seems to match up with your gifts and your abilities. Until you take the spiritual gifts class, just base it on that. What looks appealing to me and the way I like to work and what I have to offer, and sign up maybe for a place to serve. Now, if you're already serving somewhere, don't add to it. We're not talking about overkill. You don't get extra credit for things like that. But if you're not serving somewhere, look at a place where you can. And when you do that, you will discover the third very important truth about what living with purpose means. When we understand that we are blessed to be a blessing, then we discover that blessing is a blessing. Blessing is a blessing. We get something out of it when we do. So often when we think about serving other people, Our thoughts go to what we can do for someone else's benefit, and we sort of forget a very key principle in it all. We get something out of it that we need very much. Sometimes we don't even know what's missing in our own lives until we try to do something for someone else's benefit. And then it comes to us, oh gosh, I didn't even know I was missing something. Somebody in our church sat down recently to be interviewed about what serving in mission has meant to him. Take a look at this video.
My name is Al Dalton. I'm married to Kathy Dalton. She and I have two children and two grandsons, and we have been coming to St. Luke's for a little over 30 years. I'm in the residential building business and got started in World Missions about 16 years ago. One Sunday, Kent Millard was preaching about being a good person, which I thought I was, and then he mentioned that in order to really be a better person, you need to do stuff for others. Then I kind of realized, well, maybe the mission work might be a way for me to help others. My first mission trip was to Jackson, Tennessee. There had been a tornado travel up a little valley down through there, and I signed up to go with Ken Hollis and several others that have become tremendous friends over the last umpteen years. Over the years, World Missions has traveled, and me being a part of that, to Haiti, Chile, Honduras, Jamaica, Texas, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, New Orleans, and probably several that I'm not going to remember right now. In total, around 30 trips for me. And I'm very, very sorry that I didn't start sooner sharing what I could with other people. I think what I enjoyed the most out of the trip was the time as a group we were together doing devotion. It gave us all the time to sit and be still, think about what we've done. For someone that wasn't quite as well off, let's say, as we are. Years ago, Lee Schaefer printed a handbook for World Missions, but he didn't write in it how the folks that you worked with and worked for were going to impact your life. I had no idea when all of this started, the extent of the love I would have for other people, and that love returned to me. To share just so little of my time and be rewarded and enriched in such a manner is astounding for me. I hope there is never an end to the work trips that St. Luke's goes on. Whether St. Luke's folks know it or not, they have made themselves a name all over the world, from the Gulf Coast to South America. I picked World Missions because I thought that I could fit in with the skill level I had. But I also found that World Missions wasn't just builders of things, it was builders of relationships. So if you've got an inkling to go and be a part of a work trip, please go. And just visit with people, listen to them, talk to them, befriend them. You learn that your largest concerns are pretty minuscule compared to what other people go through. Number one, the feeling is very, very rewarding to know that you can help someone in need, not someone that necessarily comes to you and says, hey, can you help me? But it's real apparent that they need help. Number two, your life is just thoroughly enriched, not just in knowing that you've helped others, but the friendships you make that just last and last and last. I usually try and shame people into going with me.
Well, the amen to this message is Holy Communion. And it's a perfect amen. Because we worship a Savior who said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. He came as a living example of giving life away for the sake of others. And so we come needing that kind of life that Christ gives us so that we can be empowered to serve, to give to others.